I love my Blue Apron meals. I'm back to cooking at home. I'm making great meals that are saving me money, time, and they are delicious. Blue Apron meals have variety. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. But whatever they send, it's going to be fantastic. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you're never going to get bored. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. I'm doing it, so I'm sure anybody could do it because I'm not a chef, but Blue Apron has me feeling like Chef Rappaport. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook or they will make it right. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. For those of you who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains, you can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal at home at blueapron.com. All right, now check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free. Okay, get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. All right. 1-2-1-2-1-2. Check. 1-2-1-2-1-2. This is the Iron Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the Human Phlegm Machine. This is a gem. This is a gem episode of the Iron Rappaport Stereo Podcast. This is a hip-hop gem. A diamond. One of the first MC slash producers, Lord Finesse, is going to call into the podcast today. If you do not know who Lord Finesse is, he produced on Notorious B.I.G.'s Ready to Die record. He produced for Big L, one of the founding pillars of hip hop, one of the founding members of the DITC, Digging in the Crates crew. Fat Joe, OC, Buck Wild, Showbiz and AG, Diamond D, and Big L, DITC. This is like New York influential hip-hop. It doesn't get any more hip-hop. It doesn't get any more New York than Lord Finesse from the Boogie Down Bronx. You're going to break down some shit about Big L. Stories about Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., Ice-T, and whatever's going on with him. And the DITC crew, Fat Joe, shout out to those all those dudes. I love those dudes from day one, late 80s, early 90s. So with no further introduction, I got my man, Lord Finesse. We're going to talk about David Axelrod, the great David Axelrod, whose music was sampled and used so much in some of that early great boom bap music. David Axelrod just passed. Anyway, this is the Iron Rappaport Stereo Podcast. This gentleman needs no introduction, no further introduction. My man Lord Finesse on the call-in, on the ones and twos. This is the Iron Rappaport Stereo Podcast.
What is going on, sir?
What up, my man?
I'm good, man. Now every time I think of your name, I'm thinking New Edition and just start laughing, man.
I was a scumbag manager.
Oh man, I was good overall, man. That was a nice story, man.
It brought back memories, right?
It brought back so many memories, man. You just forget how young dudes was and how much they had going on when you looked at that. You'd be like, wow, man. And you forget how huge they were, you know.
Yeah, they were gigantic. And they brought that R&B shit that obviously was, you know, reminding of the Jacksons and the Silvers. And obviously, you know, the Jackson 5 being the most prominent. But, you know, for me, I can't think of another group except for maybe Houdini. But you'd have to bring out a calendar. The Why? First group, you know, but Houdini was straight hip hop for an R&B group that started rhyming in the songs. You know, like, I always remember that because, like, you know, like, you knew they weren't from New York. It was like they had these weird accents. They were from Boston. But right. Then they were rhyming on, you know, the Candy Girl song and the Popcorn Love. And you were like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, it was a big deal, right?
Yeah, man. It was huge, man. Like I said, looking at that story, it's just like, you know, some stuff, you know, a lot of stuff you didn't know. And it was a good movie at a good time, man.
I appreciate it. Yo, well, speaking of scumbag managers, like I played in New Edition, did you ever come across any scumbag managers? Like, I mean, you know, like Q-Tip says, industry rule number 4,080, record company people are shady. I mean, I think, you know, just in general, show business people are shady. But, you know, you ever deal with any, you know, record business trickery?
Yeah, I mean, I learned that when you're giving people authorization over you, you got to be careful. Because when they going out and they collecting your money and you ain't on top of them all the time and they know you ain't on top of them, they could slip a check in here and there and you won't know. Like, for instance, like I had, not going to say the person's name, but the person was managing me. And I remember Ice-T had got me money for this soundtrack. And I did the song and they didn't like the song, so I had to do the song over again. You know, so I was like, man, if I got to do the song over again, then there ain't going to be no money and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what you mean? I'm like, yo, because the budget was $15,000. I done breezed through half of that. Now I'm going to go back. I was banking on the back end money. I ain't going to have no money.
Right.
So who told you it was $15,000? I said, you know, so-and-so. He was like, nah, it was $25,000.
Ah.
And I was like, for real?
Yeah.
And I remember all of us on the three-way line and money had to come clean. And ever since then, I didn't really want to give nobody authorization to sign for no money. And it ain't make no sense anyway, because if you, let's say you're a manager and I'm getting $50,000, I don't need you to take my $50,000 just to take your 10% of $5,000. You don't need to hold
right.
my $50,000 for that. When my check come, I'll cut you your $5,000 and let's keep it moving.
Right,
and
right.
I just think when you let people hold that type of money, and they, some people ain't used to seeing that money, it's all type of new charges and receipts that come up to dip more into that money.
And you're a kid when this is all going on. Like when you first started having success, when you first started making money as a rapper and a producer, how old were you?
I got signed when I was 19.
And there's no classes in high school that, yo, hip-hop producer, hip-hop, you know, MC, like, you just doing it, and it's all by the seat of your pants. And like, you know, like, I imagine when you started making that money, like, you're just, like, happy to be doing this shit, like, sort of professionally. Am I right?
Yeah, I remember, like, when you start to see some real bread that you've never seen before, man, you don't know what to do. It's just coming so quick. It's coming from different angles. And you just enjoying yourself, you know? So I could see how people could get caught up if you don't have somebody really explaining the value of what you're doing.
So remind people, you brought up Ice-T early. Remind people about your connection with Ice-T and how you got started working with him. Because I remember when I first heard about that, you know, I was like, Finesse, Bronx, Ice-T's, L.A. I mean, it all made sense because it was all love. But I was like, you know, at the time, it was sort of like this, you know, New York is New York. You know, Atlanta and down south started doing their thing. And L.A. was certainly doing their shit. How did you wind up connecting with Ice-T?
Well, it was during the 1989 seminar. But I was already signed to Wild Pitch and I was in the seminar. And I turned a lot of heads and I impressed a lot of people, him being one of them. And I just remember him coming up to me as like, look, man, I think you're incredible. And if there's anything I could ever do, just holler at me. Okay. So now I'm on Wild Pitch, you know, and it's not a big budget. It ain't a lot of money. But now my record is ringing bells. It's selling. But, you know, I'm not seeing the money I feel I should be seeing. So I just remember telling Ice and him, like, offering, like, look, man, if you could get out that situation you in, man, I'll get you a better situation. And that he did. And that's how the whole Rhyme Syndicate came into play. I've learned a lot from him, you know, especially performing. He used to do some hell of fire shows overseas, man.
Right.
My first European tour was in 91. I remember going on the road with him for like a month and a half, maybe 30 to 40 dates or something. And I really got my feet wet with learning how to perform, you know. Like, I thought I was rocking until, you know, you get out there and you got to do, like, some serious time on stage, you know. And then
And when you're rocking in 91 overseas, you're 21 years old. Like, what are the crowd's response to hip-hop at that time? You know, country. So you're all over the place. You're in Europe. I'm assuming you're in Asia. Like, are people, like, they're into it? They were aware of what was going on?
No, they was very aware of it, that it changed my whole attitude towards rap. I didn't really know what being international was. You know, I wanted to be the king of New York or, you know, big in the United States. And, you know, with a lot of racial things growing up, seeing racial stuff, and being, you know, discriminated against when I was out there, you know, and the stage, you know, the curtains open, or you walk out on stage and it's 3,000 to 4,000 Europeans, predominantly white, you know, and they singing your songs word for word, it's life changing.
Right.
You know, you start to understand that is different in different places.
Right.
And you receive love. So I've been receiving love in Europe since like 91. So
damn.
Now people are like, yo, Europe is the place to be. And it's like, look, Europe, been the place. Where was y'all at? You know,
right,
because,
right.
You know, I do Europe. I do Japan. I still do Australia. And I'm still just blessed to do what I do at a high level and still blessed to be in it, you know, in the thick of it.
So Finesse, you're one of the original DITC, Digging in the Crate crew members. And, you know, I mean, we're going to have a whole other podcast because I've been wanting to get you on for a while. But, you know, I with the passing of David Axelrod, who was sampled so much in hip hop, I wanted to just, you know, have you break down his music. And then a follow-up question to that, you could even answer first, is, do you still dig in the crates and do you still, you know, go for the records and dig for the records, or is your collection just so sick at this point? Like, you've seen every single record. I mean, you've been all over the world. You know, there's a handful of you guys that got a reputation. You, Pete Rock, you know,
right.
Large Pro. I mean, your whole crew, Diamond D, Showbiz and AG, Q-Tip. You know, like,
right.
All you guys were, like, just doing it. And there's a whole bunch more. I mean, you know, like, the De La dudes and, you know, Africa
right.
Baby Bam from Jungle. He was heavy and the Beat Nuts. You know, so I don't want to just forget anybody, but I've just
Large
probably
Pro,
forgot, like, 30
know.
People. All of you guys. I mean,
right.
But do you still get that same satisfaction from collecting, you know, records and finding, you know, little gems? Or have you seen it all?
It really doesn't end. It's crazy that I've been in the game this long and I'm still running across music I've never heard before. And I'm not talking about the new music that's coming out. I'm talking about records that's out of print. I'm talking about, like, stuff, foreign covers to certain American songs. That's incredible. It really doesn't stop. I'm still very much a student of still looking for that rare jewel, that rare gem. And I think that's what a part of hip hop is really missing. Samples and your knowledge of music gives hip hop that edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives
break it down.
It gives it that edge creatively because the sound is raw. Like when you do it with all this music now and you're getting people to play and, you know, I mean, it's cool, but it doesn't have that edge. For me as a producer, samples give me direction. It gives me insight and maybe ways I wasn't thinking or hearing something in such a way that I would have never came up with that.
Right.
And that's what made hip-hop dope. Like when you brought, you know, the Low End Theory, or you brought, you know, Midnight Marauders, and you brought Pete Rock and CL Smooth, Mecca and the Soul Brothers. When you brought Lars Professor, Breaking Atoms, the way these dudes went at these records, when you brought Showbiz and AG, Runaway Slave, when you brought Diamond Album, Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop, if you listen musically how these things was crafted with samples and stuff, you know, it's phenomenal. And I know people say, well, I don't sample because of the sample. And it's like, there's ways to get around it, because the art of it is sampling, meaning taking a
right.
piece and doing something creative with it. Now, if you're taking a loop and you loop, and then you aren't sampling, you're looping.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, but I think there's still room for it. And I just think a lot of people want the easy way out. They want that clean way out. A lot of people aren't risk takers. I call the albums compilations because, you know, I got my 2 to 3 radio songs. I got my 2 strip club songs. I got my 2 trap songs. I got my 2 real hip hop songs. And it's kind of all over the place, instead of really going after a sound or a style you believe in and risking it all.
Right. No, I hear you, man. It really frustrates me, and I never thought there'd be a day where, you know, I'd be talking on the phone with Lord Finesse and I'd sound like, you know, an old motherfucker. But for me as a fan, and I'm sure for you as a creator, and one of the, you know, most respected pillars of hip hop. I mean, it breaks my heart to think that the music is going extinct. You know, there's this new shit and you know, things change, things evolve. But I feel like, you know, that boom bap that you're one of the pioneers, you know, you're one of the creative pioneers of is going away. You know, and I, you know, the music business, I don't understand it. I'm just a fan. I have no agenda. And that's why I feel like, you know, I could speak on it so passionately. And,
right.
and my point of view is just from a fan, you know, like, it's going extinct. It's like a fucking extinct animal, like that boom bap sound. It sounds dramatic, but the shit really breaks my fucking heart. Like it hurts my heart that there's like, okay, there's new things, there's young kids, but there should be some fucking balance, you know? And I feel like there's no balance anymore. And the music is just so like, it's like a gumball. You chew it and then you spit the shit out.
I just look at it in so many different ways. Like, for instance, they go, real bars are back. And it's like, real bars never went anywhere. You just neglected real bars. You
right.
chose to ride this wave. You chose to get a surfboard and chase after this wave. And now, you know, you're seeing certain things and, oh, we got to bring balance. You're partly responsible for it.
Right.
You know, but, you know, with hip-hop, I'm more disappointed with all the technology we have in the world and for the music to sound that way when we did much more with much less.
I think that's part of the problem, though, Finesse. I think that's part of the problem. You got motherfuckers that are making number one songs off their fucking iPhone, straight up, like with these programs on their phones. And that's how they're learning about it. You know, I always bring up, like, the first thing you see in the Straight Out of Compton movie, the first image you see is the actor who played Dr. Dre laying down. And I'm sure if they did the Lord Finesse movie or any of the people we mentioned early, the first thing they see in that Dr. Dre movie is that actor laying amongst all his records with his headphones, because he loved that music. He loved it. Before there was hip hop, before he thought about, you know, making money, before all you, like, there was that love of the music. And I feel like now it's like, I want to be a rapper. And what's the quickest way to become a rapper? And God bless motherfuckers for making money, but just, you know, like I said, I feel like it's like a piece of candy, and it's not the kind you even swallow. It's the kind you chew and you spit the fuck out, man. And the music is the fucked up, and the attitude is fucked up, and it just is what it is, man. It is what it is, but...
I just don't want them to put an age limit on it, you know?
That's right.
Where, once again, it's irritable to me, because there is no age limit on it, and people got this loser's mentality, like, well, y'all had your chance. It's our turn now. It sounds like, let us rock now. And it's just like, if you that good, you take a spot. It's this sense of entitlement that kills me, that you want to be great, but you want it to be given to you. It's
right.
Like, when you, like, if I play, like, I could go on Instagram right now and play a dope record that I don't know, went to Japan and looked all through these prints and all these different stores, and I might have it where you can't see the title. And I guarantee you, it's at least 7 people tell me what it is. I need that. and you're supposed to just give it to them.
Right.
And it's like, no, I went all the way across the world to find this rare jewel. I just want you to listen to know what great music is still out there. And your first thing is like, well, give it to me. Yo, I want to hook that up. Or do a beat for me and give it to me. And it's like, it's just like, where's the appreciation? It's just like, it's just so quick. It's just gimme, 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 gimme. They don't do records. They don't dig. They mainly go on YouTube. They choice of digging is YouTube. I always tell people, most of these people is only as good as the next person upload. So if they don't upload nothing dope, then what? You ain't going to be dope? Because you ain't going to go digging. You know, so I don't like to knock the new generation. You know, I just like to put it in perspective, the difference. You know, and I wish they just split hip-hop in two. Put this new wave thing in one category and let us
call it mumble rap. Call it what it is. Call it mumble rap.
I mean, you got mumblers, but then you got some great artists, you know. But I think it should be traditional rap and then give them this new wave rap.
Right.
And let them rock out with that.
Right.
And this way,
I agree.
This way, we get what we want and y'all get what y'all want. But the way the radio's set up now is they ramming one style down your throat. They really just ramming it. It's so many different other hip-hop you can listen to. You can play that, but play a mixture of everything.
Right.
That's how it was in our era. Now it's just you force-feeding people. And you telling me it's a hit, but it don't last past a month. You know, like, it's crazy. It's crazy. We can talk about this all day. I don't really,
no, I know. We got to do a full Lord Finesse session, a full DITC session. So David Axelrod passed, and for some reason, you guys being the producers, gravitated. I mean, there's so many different people that, you know, had, obviously, James Brown and so on and so on. But for some reason, David Axelrod had a sound that hip-hop producers gravitated to over the years. Tell me who David Axelrod was to a hip-hop producer.
He was a unique composer. He was a very distinctive, unique composer where he dealt with jazz. He dealt with, like, psych rock. He dealt with, like, these different things, and he kind of made his sound where it was strings, it was emotional, it could be dramatic, and he always, for the most part, had this funky drummer. We still don't know what the drummer is out of that out of all of those people he had playing, but this dude used to be rocking. Whoever he had was rocking. And, you know, he worked with everybody from Lou Rawls to Cannonball Adderley, and the list goes on and on. So when you run across a record and the different sounds he was giving these artists, it was just like, he produced that too? And then you got the famous one, the David McCullum that he did for David, which is called The Edge, what Dr. Dre used for Next Episode.
Yeah, Next Episode.
Right. And I had that record, but I ain't never think of using it because it was, but the record itself, if you look up David McCullum and you listen to the record, how dope the whole record is. I mean, the changes, the arrangements, like his arrangements was just bananas because he would go into so many different arrangements part. It'd be different parts of the record where he'd go totally left field and it'd be another groove. It'd be another sound. It'd be another style. I can't even explain his stuff, but his albums were very, very, very phenomenal albums. And, you know,
That's good. That's good.
You know, I can name, and then he'll produce like this, it was like this religious album, The Electric Prunes. I know what the cover looked like. The title is skipping my head, but he produced an album called The Electric Prunes, right? This group, The Electric Prunes, and that album was bananas, man. And they talking, they singing like, holy are you. And you like, okay. But when the music come on, you like, God damn.
The I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress, an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. You could try a Casper mattress for 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you do not love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. With over 20,000 reviews online and an average of 4.8 stars, Casper is quickly becoming the internet's most popular mattress. They have sheets, they have pillows, they even have doggy beds. Go to Casper.com. Save $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting www.casper.com/Rappaport. Use the promo code Rappaport. Try a Casper mattress 100 nights risk-free in your home. If you don't love it, they will pick it up and refund you everything. Go to www.casper.com/Rappaport.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let me ask you a question. If there's one MC today, as a fan, that you go, I would like to produce his shit. I would like to produce a full record. I would like to produce some tracks for. Who would be one of the dudes today that you'd be like, you'd be hyped to work with?
Oh, wow. Lyrically? I mean,
lyrically, like, yo, you're going to get in there, you're going to produce it. You're gonna craft the sound and that you feel like would work with classic finesse shit.
Oh wow, that's I have a lot, you know, but wow.
You can name a few.
I would say Nas, definitely. Okay. Not.
Have you never worked with Nas?
Nah, I never worked with Nas. I just think me being a rapper and me being a producer is just a different. It's just different ways for me to talk to artists when I work with rappers, with lyricists.
You know, right.
MCs and lyricists. Because right. I'm hearing your rhyme, I'm hearing how you're structuring it, and I'm hearing it in a whole nother different way than just a regular producer would hear it. Because I'm a pure lyricist, so I would have them attacking it a certain way. An artist, love Black Thought. I think that dude...
Yeah.
That dude is one of the most dangerous dudes out, man. And I know him, and we always chop it up. But the more I'm hearing him more and more, it's like, God damn, man, who are you mad at, man? Because he's just tearing people up on their own tracks.
Yeah, he's vicious.
My own person would be AG out of our crew.
Yep.
He's I don't know if he went to another planet and studied some you know, alien formulas, because he's like, he's here like iller than ever. And, you know, he's one of my inspirations. I'm driven by substance. You know, I love to work with Jada. I'm driven and I'm pushed by substance, because when I hear the wit as a competitor, your mind is going, wow, this is ill. What can I say to be on the same scale? What can I do that's going to be iller than that?
Right.
But when you hear certain styles of rap now and you go, I could, you know, I don't want to wish nothing bad on myself, but it's like, I could catch a stroke and sound better than most of these dudes, you know?
Shit.
You know, like.
I hear you.
And, you know, I don't want to wish nothing bad on myself, but it's just no effort in it. You know, it's no pride right. in it. You know, our goal was to be the best. Our goal was to be compared to the greats, to the Rakims, to the Kings, to the... And I understand it's a different era now. People want to party, and it's cool. But everybody can't have the same story. Everybody can't do the same thing. I always say, when you look to copy, you're automatically happy being number two. You can't copy somebody and say, I'm number one. No, you can't. Your whole thing, your whole basis came from something else. So, you know, it's crazy, and it's how they want the credit for something that's just normal.
What are you up to personally? What new stuff are you working on? And what's the future of DITC?
I think the future of DITC, I think what people don't understand with DITC It's like, as long as the artists stay active, DITC lives on forever. Whether we get together all together, or if we do solo stuff, as long as we successful, that name still lives.
Right.
You know, people think you have to keep doing stuff together for the name to live. No. You know, it's good to get together, but people got their own endeavors. They got their own visions. They got their own dreams. They got, you know, we older now, so people got families. There's so many different ways to look at it. But I just think right now, everybody's doing their own thing. Diamond is doing Dime Piece. OC got a project out called Same Moon, Same Sun. He released part one. He gave it as a free download. You got AG working on Ambrosia. Fat Joe, of course.
Fat Joe's doing it.
He's all the way up already, you know.
He's all the way up. And I love when he goes all the way up, because I love when he pulls these fucking monster hits out. Just when you think it's over, he comes with a motherfucking a bomb. I saw him a few months ago, and I was like, you motherfucker, man. I was so happy for him.
Yeah, you know, I think you got a show. He in the studio. He got some projects brewing. I think one with him and Molecules. And
okay.
You know, everybody always have a ace up their sleeve. Me, I'm finally ready to do this new project, you know, after really serious thoughts. To me, it's just maximizing the opportunity. It has to be big. I'm looking to top what I've done, and I have to be comfortable, and it has to be fun while I'm doing it. And
right.
The name of my new project I'm working on is called The Inevitable. That's the name of the title.
Okay. And, all right, I'm looking for that Inevitable. All right, before I let you go, Finesse, give me one Notorious B.I.G. Biggie story. It could be from when you worked with him, before you worked with him. You know, give me one story that you remember about Biggie Smalls.
I remember, you know, okay, this is what I remember, right? I remember me, I was, you know, Puff hooked me up with Big, so I would give Big first shot at a lot of beats. And I remember, and this is on YouTube, you can look this up. It's us talking in the studio. And I remember playing a beat for Red Hot Lover Tone from the Trackmasters when he was rhyming.
Yep.
And, you know, Jess West is there. It's that video's up there, and he's telling Big how dope the beat is. You know, and it's like, your word, Ness, that's your man now. That's your man now. And I'm like, nah, I mean, you know, I just submitted it to him. So you ain't submit me that beat? Okay, that's all right. Let him use the beat, because when he finished with it, I'm going to take it and do it over, and my joint going to be 10 times better than his. And, you know, he went on and on. And, you know, we always had that great, playful relationship where we always snapped and joke, and it was always fun, you know, being in a studio with this dude. This dude's personality was like no other. It's like you gamble, you eat, you can shoot dice, and then at the end of the night, man, you would get a song done. That was crazy. And it's like, how does this dude put it all in one area, you know, as far as having fun and recording? And it would be kind of the same thing with L. He would snap, and he would just go in there, and he would knock the song right out. And it's like these dudes was I think, definite blessings, you know, to be able to work with both of them, you know, is like no other. I'm always going to remember, you know, all the different times and the different places, you know. It's incredible.
And with Big L and Biggie, the talent was apparent to you right away? Like, you knew, like, there was a little bit of shine on these guys, correct?
Definite. With Big, he had, like, an abstract style. He had a style like I've never heard before. Like, the way he go from left to right, he just take you all over the place. His flow was like nothing I've ever witnessed when I first heard him. And I remember coming back and telling the crew, like, yo, I'm working with this Biggie Smalls dude. This dude is crazy. His flow is just crazy. It wasn't compound, packed, and punchline like ours, but it was so highly effective. It was just very impressive. With L reminded me of like what LeBron is to the game today.
Damn.
You see the upside. at a very, because when I bumped into L, L was 16, 17 when I discovered L.
Jesus.
You know? So when I'm listening to him rhyming, and at that age, and I got him by like maybe 5, 6 years or whatever, and I'm going, Dad, when he gets older, that, because he made it look easy. Some of his early music was just so crazy. His lyrics were so crazy that I'm like, Dad, you know, I'm like, I'm glad he's my man, you know, like, this is my dude. I would hate to, like, have a person like him. Like, I don't like Finesse and value every chance, because this dude, he was very, very, very special.
Damn, that's good shit, Finesse. I appreciate that. Yo, I'm going to let you go. I would love to do a full podcast with you face-to-face. We had to do this on the phone. I wanted to get you David Axelrod inside. I knew we would ebb and flow into all kinds of other shit. You know, I'm such a fucking fan of yours for so many years. And, man, you know, I appreciate you. You coming on and rocking with me, man.
Man, I'm a fan of your work just as well, man. To see all the different films and the different things you did, like, throughout the course, and you're still going with it is just, that's a blessing, man. And you can't purchase longevity. You can't purchase what you got, man. That's just a blessing. But more importantly, it's like, we got to get together sometime soon and work on something, come up with something we could do together, man. You the film dude, man.
I would love it.
And I know we're going to do something real crazy, man.
I would love it.
I would love to sit and build with you on that.
We're going to be in the same city at the same place at the same time soon, man.
Yeah, man. I've been in Cali a couple of times and I still can't catch you, man.
I know. Like, sometimes you're in Cali, I'm in New York. And then sometimes I hit you, you're overseas. We'll do it. We'll do it. Or we'll have to do it at Corona at the park in the summertime.
Yo, definite, man.
All right, Beth Finesse. I appreciate it, my man.
All right, peace.
Yo, all soft ass I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast t-shirts are available at districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. We got the 5-star stereo podcast tee, the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast zip up and pullover hoodies, the full Iverson t-shirt, the Stickman t-shirt collection, the I Don't Fact Check, the hard body karate t-shirt for men and women. Go to districtlines.com/IAmRappaport. The people have spoken. We are a 5-star podcast. We've even got soft-ass t-shirts to prove it. Anytime you hear something on the I Am Rappaport podcast that is 5-star worthy, go to iTunes and give us 5-star reviews. You can do it as many times as you want. Leave us a review. We see everything. Ask a question. ILO us. Whatever you want. Hit up iTunes. Give us a review. The good, the bad, the indifferent. Whatever you want. We want to take over iTunes. They still don't show us the love we deserve.